Grace and peace to you through the Word of God and the blessings that come with your relationship vertically with God. Moms are known for their fierceness, their fierce defense of their babies, which they even sometimes turn back on themselves. It is actually the way God created you, with a special heart. Your love, your care, your protection for your offspring is immense and amazing. Even in the animal world. At Denali National Park, once as we were looking out of the tour bus window, the announcer, the tour guide, said, "Well, there goes a mother fox." I was intrigued. A long ways away, moving rapidly, and so I asked her, "How'd you know that was a mama fox?" And she said, "Oh, that's easy. If you look at their tails, they pull all the hair out of their tails when they've given birth to create a nest." I tell you, if you go to Glacier National Park, don't get between a mama bear and her cubs, right? And it's interesting that we receive some of that as children. Let me share with you an email, what my mother taught me, that reminded me why sometimes I feared my mother's fierceness. My mother taught me to pray. When I spilled grape juice on the carpet, she instructed, "You better pray that the stain will come out of the carpet." My mother taught me logic from her decisive words, "Because I said so, that's why." My mother taught me foresight. Make sure you wear clean underwear in case you're in an accident. Irony. Keep laughing and I'll give you something to laugh about. Cry about. Stamina. You'll sit here till the spinach is finished. The weather. It looks as if a tornado swept through your room. Behavior modification. Stop acting like your father. Envy. There are millions of less fortunate children in the world who don't have a wonderful mom like you. And the circle of life. I brought you into the world and I can take you out. Circle of love. Your special heart, your care and your protection can leave you wasted. And you know that. You pour out so much that there's nothing left. Psychologist met a lady, and when he got done interviewing her, he said, "Well, I see that you give 50% of your energy to your job, 50% to your husband, and 50% to your children. I can see what the problem is. But you are not left wanting in the Lord." I hope you're listening today. I have an unusual text for you that will encourage you. And it comes from God. It is a powerful thing how Paul encourages moms with a circle of love. One day a little girl was sitting on her mama's lap as she was peeling potatoes. And she was looking at her and then picked at one of the hairs. It happened to be a white hair on her brunette head. And she was curious. So she said, "Mama, how come you have a white hair?" And mom did something she probably shouldn't have at that time. She said, "Well, you know, honey, whenever you make mama cry or be upset, it turns one of my hairs white." Little girl put her face right up to her mom's and then kind of whispered, "So how come grandma's hair are all white?" Let's take a look. Page 11 in the bulletin is my outline based on the book of Philemon. And it's a one chapter letter. I'm going to start with Philemon 4-7. Paul writes, "I always thank my God as I remember you in my prayers, because I hear about your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all the saints. I pray that you may be active in sharing your faith, so that you will have a full understanding of every good thing we have in Christ. Your love has given me great joy and encouragement, because you have refreshed the hearts of the saints." Let's look at biblical encouragement, which affirms your usefulness to God. Why Philemon on Mother's Day? Well, because sometimes moms feel like slaves who want to run away. Got your attention? This is an unusual story with a gash of major proportion for the Christian church. Philemon, we would take it, was the patron. If not the leader of the church, he was one of the high influencers. And so as the Apostle Paul will write to him, there's a moment when there needs to be restoration. The book of Philemon, not well known in the New Testament, is right before Hebrews. Philemon, Hebrews, James. The author is the Apostle Paul, absolutely, the mentor of Timothy, an older apostle now writing from a prison cell. And he was put into that jail not for a criminal offense, but because of his faith. And, unusually, while he was under house arrest, a young man named Onesimus came and must have been in contact, worshipped with him. Something happened that Onesimus was so convicted of his sin that he came and apologized to the Apostle Paul and said, "What do I do to make it right?" It's quite obvious that Onesimus became very important to the Apostle Paul. Rapidly, he became like a son, and he was a runaway slave. So something here needed to be healed between Onesimus and Philemon. When we studied this with the seniors, the thought impressed itself upon me that Philemon could take the life of Onesimus if he went back. That's how they ruled. Now, Paul isn't ratifying or justifying slavery. In fact, what he is doing is to give Philemon a chance to return worth and dignity to Onesimus as a brother in the faith. In verses 15 to 17, he says that you, Philemon, might have him, Onesimus, back for good, no longer as a slave, but better than a slave, as a dear brother. He's very dear to me, but even dearer to you, both as a man and as a brother in the Lord. So if you consider me a partner, welcome him as if you would welcome me. The Bible never ratified mistreatment of another, ever, as I just said to the kids. And moms, that includes, you need to be careful with your own heart. Because the Apostle Paul wasn't just a good feeling dispenser. He isn't just worried about feelings. He's concerned about balance in God's kingdom. And this was a chance for Philemon to be encouraged. A biblical encourager is someone who gives another the courage to do what God wants them to do. Did you catch that? Encourage. Give them the courage to keep on doing what God wants them to do. What's amazing is how God can find and restore you. Paul affirmed Philemon's faith in a God of grace, the greatest encourager, or as the Holy Spirit is called in one passage, the one who comes alongside of us. What a beautiful picture. In a world that we've messed up, God encourages us, not by abandoning us, but by showing His acceptance. Go back to Adam and Eve. In the garden, as they had disobeyed, and in that way discouraged God, He would not leave. Rather would stand close, call them into confession, which they didn't give, and yet He would not stop loving them. When Adam and Eve needed Him the most, and they tried to cover themselves with leaves, He would provide them another clothing, that of skins, only a temporary solution, but later it would come, because animals will never do. Even the blood of animals will never do. It has to be the blood of the Son. And the coming of the Son is, in fact, how you know your usefulness. Ladies, if you know Jesus, and I know you do, then you know that you are always a tool of His unconditional love. Romans 8 tells us, "But God demonstrates His own love for us in this, while we were still sinners, Christ died for us." Unconditional acceptance of you. And then in Ephesians 2, he says, it is by God's grace that you have been saved, not by works, so that no one can boast. You have been saved by grace. It is a gift from God, not by works. And then he goes on and says, for we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared for us in advance to do. You will never be useful to God when you are critical or fierce against yourself. Not when Christ has already forgiven you. So feelings of inadequacy don't come from God. For all of us. He's by your side, he's on your side, because he created you and made you into this special, incredible giver. A role that is so important for us. By paying for your sins with his son's blood, he affirmed your value and your worth now and eternally. President Nixon, after he had been convicted, disgraced emotionally and overwhelmed, went into the hospital. Many of you may not know that he had wanted to take his own life. He and his wife were in the hospital room and the curtains were closed. A nurse came in and she asked permission to open the windows for the president. And she asked him, sir, would you look out? While he did not want to and did not immediately move there, eventually he stepped up and looked. And there, flying and rippling behind an airplane, were the words, God loves you, Mr. Nixon. It was given by the instructions of Ruth Graham, who said, you fly until he opens the curtains and sees this, because he needs to know. A biblical encourager reminds, like the Apostle Paul did for Onesimus, a runaway slave, you're forgiven. You're approved of God. You are one with us in Christ, and you are valuable to God. Secondly, biblical encouragement appeals to you on the basis of love. It says, Paul's plea for Onesimus, verses 8 and 9. Therefore, although in Christ I could be bold and order you to do what you ought to do, yet I appeal to you on the basis of love. I then, as Paul, an old man and now a prisoner of Christ Jesus, I appeal to you for my son, Onesimus. God doesn't want to change you for his own needs. He doesn't want you to be better for the sake or the purpose of him. And that's the amazing part, is that God doesn't look for us to change until we have been changed by his love. If you desire to change a person and your motive is so that they may help you, they'll always feel a little bit like they've been used. But if you have been completely and unconditionally accepted, and you know it, you're responding to love. That will restore even the most broken relationship, I guarantee it. Someone suggested before you criticize someone, you should walk a mile in their shoes, right? And then another man who had a play on words wrote, that way when you criticize them, you're a mile away from them and you will have their shoes. No. I think too often, and perhaps even on Mother's Day is when the kids will remind their mothers how much they love them. I was one of those sons who every Mother's Day would say, I'm going to stop fighting, Mom. Every Mother's Day for a long time. You know, a Christian author wrote, I remember my dad was dissatisfied with anything less than an A on my report card. Each time he looked at my report card, his displeasure showed on his face, and he was discouraged enough to discourage me. Then in middle school, from A's and B's, my report cards went to C's and D's. One day, on the recommendation of his brother, my uncle, my dad told me that he would not ask for my report cards anymore. I had no longer a need to report to him. He simply encouraged me to learn and do as well as I could in school. And all of a sudden, I began to learn and do well. You know, God does it that way. He doesn't grade. and then hold it in our face. He already graded you when he sacrificed Jesus. And what he found was the Son who was well pleased, so that God has said, you are perfect. And that's enough. Husbands and wives, when you vow to love the one you married, you had great potential for encouraging your spouse. Husbands, you vowed to take her to be your wife for better or for worse. Have you lived up to that commitment, or do you drip sometimes your discouragement over into their heart? Wives, you vowed to take him to be your husband for richer or for poorer. Have you lived up to that commitment? You see, God woos us. He loves us back to a better place. And that is evident because a mother cannot help but love her baby no matter what's right or wrong with it. She will always love from deep within. And I put it out on the sign that a mother's love is actually God's love put into action. Thanks, moms. Because for me, as a son, I learned to know God first and foremost in the tenderness, the gentleness, the encouragement of my mom. Now, encouragement is voicing the desired change and then demonstrating unconditional love, even if they don't change. That's what we've got to learn. We set the expectation because it is God's, but we don't drive or force. I'm still learning. I know at times with my own parenting, I would have probably been more unlike the Apostle Paul with Onesimus. I'd have probably pushed Onesimus and said, you got to go back and do the right thing. I probably would have pushed harder on Philemon and said, you're going to do this because this is what God expects. But what the apostle does is he sets the bar high and then he expects that Philemon will do it out of love for God. Well, that's verses 10 and 11. Take a look. I appeal to you for my son Onesimus, who became my son while I was in chains. Formerly he was useless to you, but now he has become useful both to you and to me. The incredible change was God's doing. Onesimus, a runaway slave who could have become nothing but a black hole of selfishness, had learned from God, from Paul, that he was useful. And he had turned into somebody that really wanted to do the right thing with his life. And in serving the Apostle Paul, he demonstrated exactly what we need to hear, is that love is full circle. You imagine after he was restored to Philemon, how they must have praised God. Moms, I come to you with an interesting correlation. And it comes from the design of the mom's circle at Our Savior. When it was first written and composed, some of our young moms wanted to say, we often feel so guilty about our role, like we can never do it right. But full circle of love? No, no, moms, you can't do it perfectly right. Your kids are going to have problems. They're going to stumble. They're going to fall. You're going to be embarrassed. And you're going to want to say, that's not my child, but I love him or her. And the full circle of God's love will come back to you again, because you'll restore them. And they restore you as you love each other in the Lord. That's a beautiful picture, mom's circle, of how the love comes from above, forgives, we forgive, and then it comes back and around, because finally, on Mother's Day, isn't it the daughter who herself is a mother that goes back and says, Mom, you were really, really important in my life. Fear of failure, then, is what we are going to avoid today. Fear of failure comes from life's experiences, right out of the mouth of a youth-filled perception. Patrick, age 10, said, never trust a dog to watch your food. Michael, 14, said, when your dad is mad and asks you, do I look stupid, don't answer him. Michael, wise man, also said, never tell your mom her diet's not working. Not a good thing to do on Mother's Day. Randy, 9 years old, said, stay away from prunes. One wonders how he discovered that bit of wisdom. Kayoyo 9 said, never hold a dustbuster and a cat at the same time. Naomi 15 said, if you want a kitten, start out by asking for a horse. Lauren, age 9, said, felt markers are not good to use as lipstick. Joel, 10 years old, said, don't pick on your sister when she's holding a baseball bat. And Eileen, age 8, said, never try to baptize a cat. You learn from your failures. Are you listening? Paul trusted both the vertical and the horizontal strength of relationship. He addressed Philemon's fear. You know what Philemon was afraid of? That in the congregation, the other slave masters would look at him as weak. That he would be embarrassed because everywhere he went, they would be pointing at him saying, that's the man that can't discipline his slave. But in the congregation of God, Paul was saying something else was more important. That Onesimus is restored and you treat him like a brother because that shows that slavery is not going to win by destroying him. In fact, a true encourager works to understand the fears of the one needing encouragement and believes that that person can do the right thing and can change even when it may not seem possible. Sometimes ladies do need a special kind of a support. Sometimes they need to have someone committed to them when their self-worth is low. One lady wrote, this is an actual statement, I wish I were a bear. If I were a bear, I could go hibernate. I would do nothing but sleep for 6 months. I could get used to that. Another thing, before I hibernate, I'm supposed to eat myself stupid. That wouldn't bother me either. If I were a mama bear, everyone knows I mean business. I could swat anyone who bothers me or my cubs. If my cubs get out of line, I would swat them too. My husband would expect me to growl when I wake up. He would expect me to have hairy legs and excess body fat. He would like it. I wish I were a bear. Mom, some days you are a bear. We love you anyway. He may simply stand there and state to Philemon, you may be the slave master, but you can restore Onesimus. I expect that you will. And Philemon did. He simply shared his support and let the Lord do the rest. It shows the wisdom of God is the foolishness of man, because these things don't make sense if you don't have God. God's foolishness is wiser than human wisdom. And some of us, he gave a mother that simply wouldn't let us go to waste. I'm telling the truth. The pendulum is beginning to swing back in favor of motherhood. And if it is nothing but drudgery to teach a child, then we haven't learned to love like Jesus. If a mother, woman, can go into a classroom and teach little children mathematics and history, and it can be an outstanding, stellar career that she is praised for and honored in the community, but she is not honored and loved for doing much more with her own children, teaching them about the universe, about their Maker and their Savior. And maybe it is drudgery. But the words of G.K. Chesterton show the responsibility of a mother. Babies need not be taught a trade, but to be introduced to a world. To put the matter shortly, a woman is generally shut up in a world with a human being at the time when he asks all the questions there are and some that aren't. And she needs the patience and wisdom to give that child the direction of heaven. In fact, if it's drudgery, the reason is because it's a labor of love. And that labor, that influence, is gigantic. Moms and grandmothers, today we honor the Lord's work in and through you. And I hope that you've heard what I said is you're doing a good job. In fact, you're doing a great work, especially when you bring your children to the Lord. You, in your every action, you try your best to live. And when you are not able to, then you point them back to the place where you get your strength from. You go back to God. So despite what you think are your failures, despite the insufficient amount of appreciation from your spouse, despite your loneliness, despite your exhaustion, let God, let the Apostle Paul affirm your value and your worth And if you aren't yet a mom, your potential as a mother. Happy Mother's Day. Love on, dear mothers. Love on down the road to eternity. Amen. And this is the life that is given to us. We only can live it once, but let us live it in the Lord and seek His eternal, incredible love. Amen.